This is Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. Step by step, the courts seem to be dealing with how far Christian businesses can go in boycotting gay weddings. The latest ruling involves wedding invitations. Let's go to former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Our conversation brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. So just to review, we have had, flowers, cakes, and photos so far, right?
And other sort of non-wedding issues that bring up some of the same issues, like T-shirt printing. So as you say, the courts are busy dealing with lots of different fact patterns, and they all break down along the lines of trying to distinguish between free speech or compelled speech and conduct, you know, the way you conduct your business. Or in one case, free speech versus the identity of the customers, which one is at issue. In Arizona, a couple of business owners who make custom wedding invitations using calligraphy were allowed to refuse to provide the custom wedding invitations to same-sex couples because of the business owner's religious beliefs. But it was a narrow ruling by the court. This is the Arizona Supreme Court, because they said the only part of their business that this would apply to is the part that involves, you know, handwriting these wedding invitations. And I guess it's because they concluded that writing out the invitations amounts to free speech. Whereas in Washington State, the Arlene's Flowers case has gone to the state Supreme Court, then up to the U.S. Supreme Court, which sent it back to the state Supreme Court, where the Washington State Supreme Court held for a second time that Washington's law barring discrimination in public accommodations means you can't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, and refusing to provide flowers violates that discrimination bar, because the Supreme Court in our state believes that floral arrangements are conduct, not speech.
So that seems to be the key here. What is speech and what is conduct? And in the wedding invitation case, these were hand calligraphed and hand decorated. There was quite a bit of creativity in them. And also, it was pointed out that the business didn't discriminate against customers on the basis of who they were. In other words, gay people were free to come in and order invitations. Their problem was with the content of the invitation, where it said, we rapturously celebrate the wedding of this gay couple.
Exactly. So where it looks like the business owner is being forced to engage in certain speech, and it really looks like speech as opposed to putting a flower arrangement together, then you're likelier to get a ruling like the one that Arizona issued, although it was a 4-3 decision. And it's possible that the city of Phoenix, which had enacted this bar on discrimination, could appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Okay, so help us out here. As a former state attorney general, between all these rulings now, are we coming to an easy-to-understand overall rule of thumb here that merchants and customers can use to decide who's right in these cases?
Well, I think it's becoming easier, because we're seeing this line being drawn between speech and conduct. I think the Washington State Supreme Court did a pretty good job of laying out that difference in their rulings. It does get tricky, though, when you start talking about products that might combine speech with something else. For example, the Colorado wedding cake case, where the wedding cake maker did not want to provide a wedding cake to celebrate a same-sex marriage. There, the U.S. Supreme Court took up the question, and this is the only one of these cases the U.S. Supreme Court has really issued a ruling on so far, but they issued a very narrow ruling in favor of the cake maker when they found that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission demonstrated anti-religious bias in the way that they looked at the baker's case and how they came down on it. They just said, look, the Supreme Court said there's evidence that the Civil Rights Commission in Colorado is just, you know, doesn't like religion or doesn't like certain religion or religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. And so they found that anti-religious bias undermined the commission's decision. So they remanded it back to Colorado for further consideration. And they did the same thing with the Arlene's Flowers case. Now, there, the owner of the business in the Tri-Cities argues that flowers are, you know, a kind of artistic expression. The Supreme Court of the U.S. sent the case back to the state Supreme Court after the state Supreme Court's 2017 ruling on the question of whether or not the decision was animated by, you know, anti-religious bias. And the state Supreme Court said no, it wasn't. That the state Human Rights Commission and the Attorney General's office was not, you know, anti-religious or anti-Christianity in their decision, but rather was trying to neutrally enforce the discrimination against, or the bar against discrimination against public accommodation.
In 20 years, we may know for sure what's allowed and what's not.
Well, it's an iterative process, you know, lawmaking when you're talking about the Constitution. And although it does take time and it does sometimes seem like they're splitting hairs, in fact, it's useful because the courts over time eventually establish something that looks like, a bright line, or at least a brighter line than we had before.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.